Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, my name is Benita Huang Cho, and I represent Petitioner Ms. Juana Leguizamo. Your Honors, notwithstanding Section 242A2B little I of the Immigration and Nationality Act, this Court has jurisdiction to review the Board's denial of the cancellation of removal application because the decision is based on a statutory eligibility issue regarding good moral character and not a discretionary judgment.
You're referring to the decision of the Board now, am I correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
What does discretionary judgment have to do with it? What A2B little I says is that all decisions under 1229B are not reviewable. And this was a decision under 1229B, is it not?
Yes, Your Honor, but this Court...
There's a separate provision saying we can't review discretionary decisions. But this one appears to be absolute. If it's a decision under 1229B, it's just not reviewable.
Yes, Your Honor. However, this Court has decided in other cases that a cancellation of removal application is reviewable if it is regarding a decision, a statutory eligibility issue, such as continuous physical presence.
What's the basis of that in the statute?
Well, under Morrell...
Is there any way the actual statute can be construed to allow any decision under 1229B to be reviewed? Putting aside the Real ID Act, the Real ID Act may rescue some of this, but...
Under Morales, this Court...
Is there any way the statute can be construed? I'm asking you about the language of the statute. Is there any language in the statute that you're relying on for the proposition that we can review?
Not the statute itself at 242A2B little I.
You don't have any basis in the statute. That's a pretty tough position for you.
Well, I'm relying on other cases that this Court has decided upon, such as Morales, where this Court has found that it can review a cancellation of removal application where it is regarding a decision that is based on a statutory eligibility issue, such as continuous physical presence. To qualify for cancellation of removal, there are three grounds that the petitioner must show. First, that she has resided continuously for 10 years in the U.S., that she has good moral character, and that exceptional and extremely unusual hardship will be suffered by a U.S. citizen or permanent resident spouse, parent, or children. In the instant case, the Board found that a petitioner could not meet the good moral character requirement. Now, good moral character is statutorily defined in the Immigration and Nationality Act at Section 101F. At Section 101F, the statute enumerates various grounds where a applicant cannot prove up or establish good moral character, such as if you are a habitual drunkard. Specifically at Section 101F6, the statute states that if you have given false testimony to obtain an immigration benefit, you cannot prove up good moral character. The Board, in its decision, agreed with the immigration judge's finding that the basis for denying cancellation of removal to petitioner was that she could not show statutory eligibility for cancellation because she could not prove up good moral character. And they specifically cited Section 101F6 of the Immigration and Nationality Act to show that she was not statutorily eligible. Because the Board... decision is based on statutory eligibility, this Court does have the ability to judicially review the decision. The controlling case in this matter is In re Laureano. In re Laureano is a Board decision where the Court decided that when a visa petition is once withdrawn based on an admission by a party that the marriage was entered into to bestow an immigration benefit, any subsequently filed visa petitions by the petitioner and beneficiary must show or have an explanation of the prior withdrawal and contain evidence to show why the marriage is bona fide and was entered into for genuine reasons. Petitioner and her husband had complied with the requirements of In re Laureano. The petitioner's husband had submitted an affidavit explaining why he had withdrawn the initial visa petition. And the couple had also provided evidence to prove up the bona fides of the marriage, such as joint tax returns, bank statements, paycheck stubs, and birth certificates of their children together. Because petitioner and her husband had...
Let me come back to the jurisdictional question.
Yes.
Are you relying on the Real ID Act, the provision in 1252A2D?
I am.
That's the one that says nothing in subparagraph B or C, and it's B that the Attorney General is relying on, which limits or eliminates judicial review, shall be construed as precluding review of constitutional claims or questions of law raised upon a petition for review.
Yes. Yes, Your Honor.
Life would have been easier had you cited that in your brief or bothered to file a reply brief. You know, it's really not very prudent if the respondent says there's no jurisdiction not to file a reply brief.
I understand, Your Honor. I apologize. Continue regarding the documentation submitted regarding the bona fides of the marriage. Petitioner had testified from the beginning.
Now, is the eligibility question a pure question of law?
Yes, Your Honor, because good moral character is defined specifically in the Immigration Nationality Act, Section 101F. At 101F, they enumerate the various grounds where good moral character cannot be established. And the board solely relied on 101F6, that the petitioner cannot support a finding of good moral character because she had given false testimony to obtain an immigration benefit. The board's decision cites 101F6 on page 2 of the administrative record. Petitioner has testified from the beginning of her hearings that she had a bona fide marriage. She testified that although the marriage was rocky, that it was entered into for bona fide reasons. She stated in the record that she did move back and forth between her in-laws and husband's house to her brother's home due to the drinking and drug use of her husband and his being in and out of jail. So there has never been any false testimony given by the petitioner regarding where she has resided and the bona fides of her marriage. It is only her husband that gave false testimony at his first immigration interview.
Here's what gets me worried. The argument you're now making is wholly a factual argument. It's not about the interpretation of any statute. And the Real ID Act preserves questions, you know, pure questions of statutory interpretation, but not disputes about the application of law to fact. That's why I wondered whether you're making an argument of pure question of statutory interpretation.
You know, I believe because the board's decision is solely based on 101F6, that it is a statutory eligibility issue. Mentioning, if the immigration judge had permitted the corroborative testimony of petitioner's sister-in-law regarding the marriage, there would have been additional evidence to prove up the bona fides of the marriage. I see that I'm running into my rebuttal time. If the court does not have any additional questions, I'd like to save that time for rebuttal.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Certainly, counsel.
Good morning. May it please the court. Yes, Your Honor. Thank you. I represent the government in this matter. The court has no jurisdiction in this matter except to consider the denial of a continuance by the immigration judge, and that denial was an appropriate exercise of the immigration judge's discretion.
I don't see how we can consider denials of continuances. The only thing that's before us is the validity of a removal order.
Yes, Your Honor. The government has not asserted a jurisdictional bar as to the denial of a continuance.
As I say, we can't review denials of continuances. The only thing we can review is the removal order.
There's ultimately,
no
I understand.
Review of procedural steps independent of the order.
I certainly
agree
with
we
you.
Could review whether the hearing was held on, you know, in the morning or in the afternoon. How does it relate to the order?
Well, let me say, Your Honor, that our position is that in reviewing the removal order, the only issue is whether or not the continuance was properly denied, and the government's position is that it was.
How is this consistent with the language of the statute? And is either side actually interested in the actual language that Congress enacted?
Well, Your Honor, I believe the Court's referring to B little I, 1 in asking about the statute.
It says that decisions under 1229B are not reviewable.
Yes, Your
period.
Honor.
Period.
Yes.
Right? And then there's an exception in D for particular issues.
Yes, Your Honor.
Constitutional issues and pure questions of law. So what's the, in your view, is the continuance a pure question of law?
That Your Honor, right? our position would be that the continuance actually is not part of the cancellation decision.
The only thing we are reviewing is the removal decision.
I understand, Your Honor. It's rather difficult for me to argue that the Court does have jurisdiction over this, but we believe that it does.
Yeah, well, but then I would appreciate it if you would let me know the statutory basis of this.
Because the petitioner has filed a petition for review from the removal order, and in the context of adjudicating the removal order, the immigration judge denied a continuance, which we believe is entirely proper.
But how is this consistent with the statute?
Your Honor, I would only
say... The statute says no decision under 1229B is reviewable.
That's absolutely right.
And then there's
right.
an exception in D for
yes,
two particular lines of argument.
And the continuance is not part of...
relying on the exception.
Your Honor, we would simply say that B little I 1 does not apply to a decision on a continuance.
We're not... Oh, I give up. This is Alice in Wonderland.
Your Honor, with regard to the cancellation issues, the Court does not have any jurisdiction. I think, well, let me point to the second-to-last sentence of the agency's last decision in the case. That's at page 3 of the administrative record. There, the Board stated, moreover, based upon the immigration judge's factual findings, we would deny the application for cancellation of removal in discretion. Under the provision cited by the Court at 8 U.S.C. 1252A2B i1, this Court lacks jurisdiction to review the agency's ultimate exercise of discretion in deciding whether aliens merit cancellation or removal.
You know, these cases, as Judge Easterbrook points out, there's some obviously major problems with our having jurisdiction to review any of this, but just the whole factual situation here is so preposterous to me. I mean, she's been in this country since 1985, 22 years. That's, in fact, 1985 was the year Judge Easterbrook and Judge Ripple came on this court. It seems like a long, long time ago. She's got four children, twins, and one of her oldest child is 12, and now she's booted out of the country after living here all this time. What happens to these kids and just what's going on here?
Well, Your Honor, I'm in a difficult position. I understand the Court's concerns in terms of equities, but I'm here to uphold the agency's findings
yeah,
regarding
know,
the application.
I know that what I just said has nothing to do with the issues of what the scope of our jurisdiction is, but it just seems to me that ought to be better things for the government to do than boot her out of the country.
Your Honor, this is an alien who came to the United States seeking a benefit, and the government found that she lied about the validity of her marriage in trying to do that. She's persisted in that lie for the 8 years that she's been before the court. The Board of Immigration remanded this case because it wanted to make sure the record was clear about what the immigration judge was relying on in drawing that conclusion. Now, I think it's taken a long time for the agency to reach the conclusion in this matter, but in the end, it is a fair decision, and I think it is a just application of the laws as Congress enacted them. And I think that that's the issue that's before the court, or if the court reaches the merits.
Mr. Evans?
Yes, Your Honor.
The opinion of the board appears in the last sentence to have an alternate holding. The court says that, moreover, based upon the immigration judge's factual findings, we would deny the application for cancellation of removal in discretion. So I gather that the board is saying she fits within the statutory prohibition because she lied in the proceedings. And in addition to that, we would uphold the IJ's view that as a matter of discretion she ought to be denied the relief. Now, you look at the IJ's opinion, and the IJ does rely both on the statutory ground and the discretionary ground, but don't they collapse into each other? Does the IJ make any other finding of fact other than the fact that she lied with respect to the proceeding? Is there any other basis for saying as a matter of discretion she ought to be denied relief?
I believe that there is, actually, Your Honor. The two are separate decisions. Really what happened here is that the agency cited three grounds for denying the application. One was the ultimate exercise of discretion, assuming that the alien is entirely eligible and meets all three statutory criteria. Right. The second is that she lacks good moral character, and I believe that the agency actually said she lacks good moral character for two reasons. One, because she met the statutory bar in 8 U.S.C. 1101 F6. And secondly, the good moral character ground has its own discretionary consideration. And, for example, in Cuellar Lopez, where this court said... Yes, Your Honor.
Without, before you look at other cases, what in the board's decision substantiates that the board relied on the discretionary call on moral character as opposed to the statutory bar?
I understand the court's question. I think it's a good one. And I would say that the court or the board cited 1101 F6 at the end of the first paragraph of its decision. And then it proceeded to discuss further the good moral character. Now, I don't believe it's entirely clear what the board is doing there, but I believe that that's where it's talking about the good moral character as a discretionary matter. And that happens to mirror the immigration judge's approach in this case. And I would point to, I believe it's page 9 of the immigration judge's second decision. There's a footnote there where the judge cites refers to the statutory bar, but in the body of his opinion, he's discussing the discretionary component of good moral character. And so really what's happening in this case is that the agency is citing three different grounds for denying the application. And even if this court had jurisdiction to review the statutory bar to good moral character, it lacks jurisdiction over the other.
Assuming arguendo that we do have jurisdiction to review the statutory bar, I'm looking to see what substantial evidence on the record as a whole supports the discretionary call that she lacks good moral character. Is the board relying on the same evidence that it relied on to support the statutory bar, or is there something else here in the record that the board is relying upon?
Well, Your Honor, I wouldn't presume to speak for the board.
Well, I'm just asking you to interpret the text here. That's all we can do. I understand.
Yes, Your Honor. Looking at the entire record, I think that the agency was uniformly concerned about the validity of the marriage.
If that is the case, why don't the statutory reason given and the discretionary reason simply collapse into really one reason? She lied. And why should... And if we have jurisdiction to review the statutory bar, why should we really ignore the alternate ground? It's the same ground.
Well, Your Honor, one reason that they should not collapse is that if the agency erred in applying 1101 F6, it may still have correctly concluded as a matter of discretion that she failed to show that she had good moral character.
Of course, if we were to... review the statutory bar, the 1101 F6 bar, and we were to include you're correct, we wouldn't have to go any further, would we? You'd like to...
That's correct. If the court agrees that the statutory bar was properly applied, I think the government would be able to live with that decision. But, for example, I would simply point out that the 1101 F6 bar refers to testimony. And I think that the court might consider, well, what testimony exactly are we talking about here? But the court doesn't have to do that in deciding whether or not, as a matter of discretion, this application could be denied for the fault because of the false marriage. Thank you very much for the court's time.
Thank you, counsel. Anything further, Ms. Cho?
Your Honor, I'd simply like to add that the only negative factor in this case is the marriage fraud issue. Petitioner has never been convicted of any other criminal matters. She has paid her taxes. She works hard and supports her family. So if this court finds that she did not give false testimony, there would be a basis for remanding the case back, and she would be able to show eligibility for cancellation of removal. That's all, Your Honor. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement.